Father, as we begin this morning, I bind up a hindering spirit that would cause anyone not to hear. You have no place here, you have no place for those that are here, and you have no place in the life of those who listen to this. I bind your ability to cloud the truth of God, to cause drowsiness or anything else. We break its power right now in Jesus' name. How many know we have the mind of Christ? That's a clear mind. It's a mind that can receive the truth of God. We are continuing this morning on spiritual disciplines in the life of the believer. And this morning, we're dealing with number 10. And I thank God so wonderfully manifested it this morning. It's the peace of God, the shalom of God. I tell you what, it's like you could literally cut it with a knife and stick it in your pocket and take it home. It's that tangible this morning. I love it when God's presence is tangible. It's not theoretical. You know, people say, well, I just don't know about that. Well, then you've never been in it. It's like trying to tell a kid who has chocolate cake all over his face that there isn't a chocolate cake in the house. He has found the tangible presence of that chocolate cake. And we have experienced the tangible presence of God this morning. And really, I think God did that for a reason. Philippians 4 and 7, Paul says this to the believers there, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Whenever we come in services like this and God manifests His tangible presence and that peace comes, it's so that you know what it is. And we have got to learn to carry it out into the world. We one of the disciplines is learning. Need one too. One of the disciplines that we need to learn is that we have got to learn to walk in that peace, walk in that manifested presence, that when we get up in the morning, we pray and God's presence begins to surround us, and then we begin walking in it the rest of the day, because there is safety in the peace of God. And we're going to see some things about the peace of God, and you can never walk in this unless you've experienced it, because you're flying blind. We need to remember, guys, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. I'm a stranger passing through, and people say, yeah, and the more you walk with God, the stranger you get. Well, that's okay, because I'm an alien here. I really am. I'm like Abraham, that I am looking for that city that was created by God, that there's nothing. He left Babylon. Here's the paradox. Abraham left the only city on the planet. Babylon was the first cities. It was the first walled cities. He left the cities made by man looking for a city made by God. He was in the world, but he was not of the world. The moment that he began walking with God, he had to leave the world systems behind. And so we need to learn that I'm not of this world. I'm of a greater kingdom. Because of Jesus, I have been birthed into the kingdom of God. And in a great sense, I hold dual citizenship. I'm a citizen of the United States of America, but I also hold a greater citizenship in the kingdom of Almighty God. And so I'm in the world. I've got to tell other people the good news, and I've got to demonstrate before them what it is to be with Jesus, the real Jesus, walking in the real gospel, walking in reality in the Word, not in trying to do some brain twister type of thing where their logic is inescapable. But, you know, and some people do that, and they'll do that the wrong way. I may have ever got into a, you know, it's like Patrick said this week, he got into this Bible discussion, he showed up to a gunfight with a knife. You know, and we have all had those situations, because intellectually, You can be so deceived in your intellectualism, you think you got a gun, and what you got's a pop gun. But you can't withstand that type of intellectualism, because the kingdom of God cannot be perceived in intellectualism. It's perceived by the Spirit. It's received by something greater than our souls. And so we got to learn to walk higher, not get caught up in that whole thing. Now, you know, God's not calling us to be stupid. We can be genius, if you will. Mm-hmm. Einstein was a believer, by the way. Okay, let me just throw that out there. With one of Dr. Carl Koch's mentors at Fuller Theological Seminary said in Einstein's classes. And Einstein talked about God's holy people. He drew a line out and said, and then there was Messiah. He was a believer in Jesus. And so you can be a genius, but it is sanctified intellectualism that always takes the kingdom of God first and let God's truth be there. So I can be in the world, but I'm not of the world, because I have something greater. And as we learn to begin to walk in that, all of a sudden the chaos of everything around us doesn't affect you. You walk through it. How many know that the storm had no bearing on Jesus when he walked on the water? That is the most vivid example of walking in the peace of God. The world around him was tumultuous, but to him, there was no limitation to what he could do with what the Father wanted him to do. And walking in the peace of God is the exact same way with us. Now, Mary and I will tell you, there have been times, because it says the peace of God which passes all understanding, that's beyond our comprehension, our ken. There have been times in this ministry, now it hasn't been so much here as it has been things in the past, that our flesh wanted to do the exact opposite. Screaming, kicking, you know, it's like everything was in us was going, no, I want to knock them out, you know, whatever the situation was. And the peace of God took a hold of us and moved us through situations that people were looking for things to say, or waiting for us to mess up and get in the flesh so that they would have something to say. And we did all the right things, we said all the right things, even though everything within us, because that peace of God was guarding us, was guarding our hearts and our minds. Now, I will be the first to tell you that after that event was over and you'd had your debriefing and your decompression, we were sitting there saying, oh, why didn't I just, oh, and, oh. Then you have your flesh out in your prayer closet where you can, you know, deal with it. But in that circumstance, the peace of God, and in a sense, we were walking through a minefield and never touched a mine. Mm-hmm. That's the power of the peace of God. And back then, I think we did it as a sovereign move of God rather than knowing what we were doing. God said, listen, you ain't going to get through this if I don't do this. I'm king. There's the peace. You're going to walk right through it so that I can teach you. This is you on my peace. This is you not so good because you don't have my peace. To learn. You know, it's like, this is your mind on drugs. This is your mind not on drugs. This is us on the peace of God. That we can, oh, in the peace of God, you can run through a troop. You can leap over a wall. In the peace of God, you come up against a giant with a slingshot instead of a bazooka. Mm-hmm. Me, I prefer the minigun, okay? If I'm going to come against a giant, you know, minigun, 10,000 rounds, all I need. David says, I got the peace of God. All it takes is a slingshot, a couple of smooth stones. I got my staff if I need it to back up against a fully armed man of war. Now, everybody in Israel was looking at him and going, tilt. But he had the peace of God. And he looked at Goliath, and the peace of God came out of his mouth. Do you notice he never called him by name? He never said, Goliath, I'm coming against you. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this Philistine without covenant with God? I'm in the covenant. I got peace. He's going down. That's what happens when the peace of God begins to take a hold of your heart. I want to read this out of the Amplified. This is so wonderful. And God's peace shall be yours. that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace that transcends all understanding. People can't understand why in some circumstances, if you're walking with God, why you have peace and they don't. But let me tell you something, and anybody in the world will tell you this. In the middle of a crisis, it's the ones that keep their heads that survive. The peace of God enables you to keep your wits about you. And therefore, it garrisons around you. It shall garrison and mount a guard over your hearts and your minds. It sounds to me like that's important. But we have never learned to practice the peace of God, to simply always walking in that manifested peace. Chuck Pierce the other day in one of his tapes said something that just, it really stood out to me. He said, I have learned to always walk in the peace of God. And he said, the only time you will ever see me in a tizzy is when that peace leaves. That he has so conditioned himself to walk in it that if it leaves, he knows something's wrong and he'll begin doing whatever he needs to do to bring it back. Why? Because your guards just left. How many know President Obama seems to be one cool dude with everything that you can see? You know, he's cool, he's calm, he's collect. Okay? Put him out in public somewhere and all his Secret Service disappear. I don't think he would hold his resolve, especially if he knew there was someone out there with a gun. No president would. Because his Secret Service are there to protect him, and as long as they're there, no matter what the situation is, he knows their job is to watch his life and to guard over him and to take him out of harm's way. That's exactly the purpose of peace. Now, the only difference with the peace of God, instead of taking you around the fire, it may take you through the fire. And I have found in times past when I have taught on this that some people believe that the peace of God means that there's no conflict. So the easiest way out, I have peace about that. Yeah, I got peace about that. You know, to circumvent the lion's den, I got peace about that. You know what? Let's go camping instead of boating. I feel peace about that. Don't you, Peter? Let's not. You know, I know Jesus told us to go across, but there's a bridge about 5 miles down. Let's try that. I got peace about that. No, you have an easy way for your flesh. Sometimes the peace of God will take you the hardest route. But yet the hardest route is the only route to victory. Look at where we know that in the Wadi Canal that Moses took the people of God at the Red Sea. To the Pharaoh, it looked like they were the most vulnerable. It was the most difficult point. I think it was called the Wadi Canal, isn't it? Or I might be thinking of something. Wadi what here? Wadi Canal? Wadi what? That's what I get for not having notes. But in the place where he took them, it was a dead end. There was this Red Sea. There was no place to cross. And they were cut off. They had no place to flee. The peace of God took them there. The manifested presence of God took them there. And it was the only place in the Red Sea that there is a smooth, raised up place that they could cross once God parted the sea. It was literally, if you could, with some of the things that I have seen about that area, it was the only place, once God pulled it back, they had smooth, soft sand to walk all the way across. The only place in the entire Red Sea that looked like it was a place of total defeat was the only place of victory. And how many times in our lives does the peace of God we think leads us someplace that looks like it is a place of defeat, but it's the only place of victory for us once God moves? That's the difference. Don't go by the peace of your flesh. Go by the peace, because your flesh will always want the easiest way. It will compromise in a heartbeat. go by your spirit, man. Learn to live by your spirit, man, and to move in that peace of God, that manifested presence of God. Because that's where miracles happen. That's where miracles happen. We need to learn to walk in the peace of God as a constant state of being. That takes discipline. You get up in the morning, you pray, get the manifested peace there, and then learn to walk in it, and when it leaves, you stop. What did I do wrong? Lord, did I hang a left when you hung a right? You know, what happened? What did I enter into? How many times, if we get so sensitive to that, there were probably many things in all of our lives that if the peace left and we stopped and went back to where the peace was, we wouldn't have found ourselves in the places where we were. That bad things happened. That got us into trouble. That may have looked on the outside, everything's great. The only times in my life that I have been really ripped off or taken advantage of, and it's always been with other ministries. But everything on the outside looked perfect, and I quit listening to my spirit. They're too big. They're too successful. I mean, they got to be doing something right. I have learned to listen to my wife. She could have saved me a whole lot of money one time. All she did was look at the guy's picture in his brochure. Oh, woman, that's the big and such a ministry right now in the United States. It's the hottest thing going. Yeah, it was the hottest thing going. And I went down there, and there were Christians there, and they were excited about what they were doing. But when it came to leadership, I didn't feel the peace. And I let my head override my heart. There may be situations that you're in that everything looks right in the physical. All the ducks are lined up. Everything in the physical and the natural, that this is all falling into place. This is exactly the way it needs to be. But let me ask you something. Quit looking at what you see, and it's the peace of God there. Because if I'm not moved by what I see, and what I know is supposed to be the peace of God and the Word of God. It builds a garrison around us. Now, let's look at a couple other things in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, the Amplified brings it out so wonderfully. Again, it says, let the peace of God, that soul harmony which comes from Christ's rule as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds, in that state, in that peaceful state, to which as members of Christ's one body you were called also to live, and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Let the peace of God be your umpire. If we're always walking in chaos, you have no peace to go by. And the enemy, it counts on you not having the peace. Because here's how Satan works. And in fact, the Masons use it as their motto. Order out of chaos. They create chaos. The Bible says where there is chaos, there is every evil work. Okay? Babylon can't mold you if they can't get you out of the peace of God. Think about that. That is a Selah moment right there. The workings of Babylon is you cause chaos so that you can get the people to panic, to do things they otherwise would not do, to create a different reality. And if you refuse to go into chaos because you're walking in the peace of God, you can't be molded. You can't be shook. I walk in a kingdom that cannot be shaken because I have heard him who speaks. Hebrews chapter 10, I want to believe. Because everything that can be shaken will be shaken, but we are in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Why? Because we have the peace. We are the antithesis to chaos. Because all it takes is one dab of Jesus and there's no chaos. We can walk through chaos, but surrounding us is the peace of God. That's why Jesus was able to walk on the water, to walk in the midst of that storm. He was surrounded by the peace of God, which nullified the chaos around him wherever he walked. And just for a minute, as long as Peter was able to keep his eyes on Jesus, he kept his peace. But the minute he got his eyes on the waves, he lost his peace and he went down. So learning to walk in the peace of God is crucial, because you may not have anything in the natural. You don't know what's coming around the corner, guys. You don't know what's around the corner for you tomorrow, or just driving down the road, you don't know what's on the corner. It's like that little yellow dotted line down the highway is supposed to keep a semi on the other side of the road. What I have found about the old farmers around here, that center line don't mean nothing. They like the left side of the road just as much as they like the right side of the road. But what keeps it is the peace of God. And I have literally seen that happen. One time Mary and I were going to Jeff City. And it was one of those crazy times when the devil was trying to cause all this chaos and everything else. And we saw a semi lose control. And it was on a little country road, you know, it was paved, but it's just a small two-lane country road. And you got a semi going like this. And I'm looking to see if I can jump the curve and hit the field. And I'm thinking, my car's going to break up because it was too much of a jump. And Mary starts praying and hollering, and it was like you saw two hands grab that semi and straightened it up and set it back on its side of the highway. It's called the peace of God. Once it got close enough to where it entered our peace, it neutralized its chaos. That's how to walk in safety. That's why when Nikki Cruz was going to kill David Wilkerson, and he walked up to him with a 9mm and began emptying it, as the bullets entered into the peace, they just went like this. Because they were trying to lose chaos, and God wasn't done with the man of God yet. And he said, you know what? You're just going to have to go around. Same thing happened to John Hagee, where the Satanists came in the front of his church. Now, how many know John Hagee is a hard target to miss? Kind of like me. You have to be blind in both eyes to miss me if you're shooting me, okay? And yet that guy emptied the clip and never touched the man of God. It's because once those bullets got into where the peace of God was, the peace of God guarded him just like a secret service. If it's that important, guys, we have got to discipline ourselves to learn how in my prayer closet to get to the place where I'm praying, where I have that peace, and then begin learning how to take it with me after I get out of the prayer closet. It is a discipline. One of the things that God has spoke over and over and over again to my heart this week is that which you devote yourself to, you will always walk in. That's why we've been dealing with these disciplines. We devote ourselves to a lot of things. Right now, the number one thing in America is we devote ourselves to entertainment. And food. The quicker and the tastier, the better. But we have devoted ourselves to it, and that's where the wealth of the world is. What you devote yourself to, if you devote yourself to walking in something in God, God will see to it that you can begin to walk in it. And we're saying, well, if God would manifest it, I'll devote myself to it. It doesn't work that way. He that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, that know that he is, and he is a rewarder. God says, if you will devote yourself to the things that I have said in my word, I will cause those things to begin to come to pass in your life. If I devote myself to these spiritual disciplines as a conscious effort to begin walking in them, God will answer that devotion with manifestation. One of the reasons that the presence of God is getting stronger and stronger in these services is that we have begun devoting ourselves to bringing it in here. And say, God, what's holding it back? And God is beginning to give more revelation and talking about strange fire out of Leviticus chapter 10. At least I'm going to be getting into some of this stuff in the weeks ahead that's in the body of Christ. I want the tangible, real manifestation of God. What God wants, I want. I want the real deal. I don't want fake miracles. I want real miracles. I want real healings. I want people really touched by God and their lives transformed. And I don't want the fake. And so God says, well, because you're devoting yourself to it, really putting a lot of effort into it, then God says, okay, now you're way over here, and to get you where you really want to be, I've got to get you way over here. And so as you increase your devotion, I'm going to give you minor adjustments and revelation and things for you to begin adding to your devotion that's going to walk you right into what you're believing God for. And as you begin doing that, that peace of God begins to be your guide, so that as you're making adjustments, sometimes it may even fight with some of the things you've been taught in the past. Of course, how many of us know some of the things that we have been taught in the past as we have discovered our Hebraic heritage didn't deal with the lamb, it dealt with the bull. Okay, can I just say it that way real politely? It had more essence in bull than it did in lamb, okay? And as we're discovering that, you think that's actually what happened when Moses went up on the mount. They didn't build a lamb, what did they build? Golden calf. See, it all ends up in the bull, okay? And so as we adjust, God is saying, I'm letting that peace keep you. Because your head may not understand, but your heart does. It may go against all the tradition that you've ever been taught, but all of a sudden you see it starts lining up with the Word of God. And you got peace while you're doing it. See, what got me, guys, with the Sabbath was the peace. It got me with the peace. And the first time that we did the Sabbath, the peace of God came in so tangible, it almost slapped me down. I said, okay, God, I understand peace. You got my attention. And so by moving in these things, God began to slowly adjust us, and he's adjusting us. And as we continue following the peace, he's giving us more bits and pieces of the puzzle, of things to discard, of things to take hold, because he's navigating our ship to the very place that we ask for him to, that we're living a life that is holy before him, so that a holy God can manifest his presence where we are in everyday life. Not just in here. I want the presence of God in here, but I want God's presence to fill your homes. I want the presence of God to fill the workplace, that when you walk in someplace, the atmosphere changes because you came in there. Because Almighty God walked in with you. That's following the peace of God. And it becomes our umpire, it becomes our lead. And what is the end? Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's prosperity and big cars and fast jets. Is that what it says? Well, no, because, brother, you know, the Apostle Paul didn't know what a Lexus was. He didn't know what a Learjet was. For the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You see, right in the middle of joy and righteousness, you got to have that peace. Pete, the true peace of God is only available by walking in the kingdom. So could I say that when I step out of my peace, I have stepped out of the kingdom? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now let's jump over to Romans 16 and 20. And the peace of God will soon crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. How many of that right there is just a good place to say amen when you make a statement like that? I love the way the complete Jewish Bible says it, because I've heard some people preach this, that I'm supposed to crush Satan under my feet like it's my job. My job is to submit to the King of Peace and let His peace rule and reign in my hearts, and the weight of His kingdom in me will crush the devil. That's what I love, how the complete Jewish Bible, and God, the source of shalom, will soon crush the adversary under your feet. As I'm submitting to the kingdom and the kingdom is manifesting in me and I'm following the peace of that kingdom, it will always bruise and crush the serpent's head. It's not about me, it's about Him in me. It's about my submission to Almighty God, because I'm submitting to following His peace, and so the minute that peace leaves, I know that my submission has erred in a place, and I'm looking back to where my submission's supposed to be. And as I do, it will always crush every plan the enemy has for you. It will always, always, always stop his plans. And I can tell you right now, I believe, in this crazy world, you're always open to this in ministry. Everybody's looking for a reason to sue. They are. They trip over your sidewalk. Well, what are you doing on my sidewalk? I don't care, I'm going to sue. We are having people right now sue ministers for preaching against sin because it made people feel bad. We had, and recently in California, we had one girl get saved, and God so transformed her life that they sued the church, saying that by the girl coming forward in church and giving her life to Jesus, you brainwashed her, because she doesn't do all the fun sin stuff that we used to do as a family together anymore. So I mean, people are looking for, right, and there have been situations that when the peace of God took a hold of us, the landmines that we were walking through were possible lawsuits. And what happened was, God worked it so, and it was by His grace and His glory, that He made us do the stuff we didn't want to do so that they were without excuse. they were without a hook. And how many times in our life, if we'll follow that peace of God, Satan has put all these landmines just waiting for you to step on one so that he can blow apart your life, no matter what the situation is. It could be a sin, it could be a situation, it could be an investment to steal all your money, all these different things. I mean, how many know the devil has a lot of marbles in his pocket? He has a lot of different ways of trying to get you. But if I'm following the peace of God, I don't care how he scatters those out, I can walk right through them and they won't touch me, if I'm following the peace of God. And the only thing I will find under my feet is his plans to destroy me will destroy what he had intended. That's how the peace of God does that in our lives. And that actually dovetails into the 11th one. Not only do I need to walk in peace, I need to walk in love. If you have your Bibles, I want to go to John chapter 13. And this is verses 34 and 35. Now, how many know that Jesus is Almighty God manifested in the flesh? Jesus is not another God. We do not have a pantheon. I do not believe in three gods. I'm not from Babylon. I do believe that one God has manifested himself to us as three witnesses, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because everything in the kingdom must be established by two or three witnesses. and who can testify of God save himself? So when Jesus came on the earth, he is Almighty God manifested in the flesh. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God who gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. He is the God who gave the Torah and said, Moses, take a pen. I want you to take a letter to my people. And it was the first five books of the Bible were transcribed by Almighty God. And he spoke them to Moses and Moses wrote them down. Okay, this same God walked among us. And he says this, a new commandment I give unto you. So to the 613 commandments of Torah, the God who gave those 613 commandments of Torah just popped another one on the top of it, which is the crown jewel of all the Torah. Okay, I'm giving you a new commandment, that you love one another, that you walk in love amongst one another. As I have loved you, that you love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have loved one for another. Now, Jesus said, I came and I walked the love walk. Now, this is not talking about mushy, flower child type of love. Jesus didn't tiptoe through the tulips. He didn't walk throwing flowers all around. He loved people enough that he found them at the point of their need and he changed the situation and he looked to the very people that were in power that had perverted the Torah of God and he got in their face, and yet it was love. Because he so loved the people, the people needed to know what they had done, and he so loved the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees that he had to confront them with their sin because he loved them. That's love. Sometimes it could be called tough love. But see, the 614th commandment gives you the ability to do the other 613. Because the very people that he was confronting took the 613 and turned it into 6,613. They built all these things around it, and they missed the point of the whole thing. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love is the hinge pin that opened, it is the key that opens the door to the commandments of God that allows you to fulfill them. If I am doing it out of love, I have the ability to keep the commandments. I don't do the Sabbath out of some ritual. I do it because I love Jesus of Nazareth and he is the Lord of the Sabbath, and I keep it to honor him because I am declaring that he is the one who created the heavens and the earth and he deserves this day. Out of my love for him. And because of that, I keep it right. Now, people may worry because I flick a bick and I may turn on a light switch. That doesn't affect my love for him. You see, the love is I rest, I cease from my labor, and I tune into heaven, and I'm honoring him. So if we're all worried about flipping a light switch, and yet you're walking in strife, and you're doing it out of some religious attitude, rather than your love for Jesus, you're not keeping the Sabbath to begin with. You're going through the motion, baby. That's all you're doing. Micah, would you turn the air conditioner down just a little bit, please? Starting to get humid in here again. And it isn't because of all the hot air floating around either. It's because it's the middle of July in Missouri. But he said, this is a new commandment. So this is a command from Messiah. 614. Love. And so I've got to have this love walk. Love is the opposite of flesh. You can't flesh out and walk in love. Think about that for a minute. Now, flesh out can manifest itself in many different ways. I always, you know, because of my nature, my thing of a flesh out would be to jump in Ben's face about something and just, rah, 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 rah. To me, that's a flesh out. Well, if your trigger in your flesh is anger, that would be a flesh out. But what would happen if my trigger would be fear? It would cause me not to get in his face when I needed to. Does that make sense? And therefore, I don't bring correction in the right way. I just avoid correction. Or for another person, getting in the flesh would be go spend a whole bunch of money to make me feel better. Well, if you walk in love, you realize that that ain't going to make you feel better anyway. And your love is complete in God. Can you see how each one of us have a different trigger that gets us? For each one of us, if you're really honest with yourself, what gets you in the flesh and what is the manifestation of getting in the flesh? Every one of us would be something different. For some of us, it would be, I eat everything in the refrigerator. And then look for Alka-Seltzer. For some of us, it's getting mad. For some, it can be as many things as there are many people. The guard of that is walking in love. It circumvents the flesh out, because where your flesh out is where the devil gets you. But if you walk in love, you circumvent the door that he has to get to you. And then it enables you to walk God's commandments. Guys, as we rediscover our Hebraic heritage, if you're doing it out of love for God, God will see to it that you always end up right. You will always end up in the right place. If you're doing it out of some religious snobbery or some religious superiority, see, I've seen that in the charismatic movement. I speak in tongues and you don't, so you're down here, I'm up here. Second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. I'm a Jew and you're not, therefore you're down here and I'm up here. Garbage. Almighty God broke you off the tree just like, you know, and he can graft you back in just like he did me, but it's in Messiah. Anything that gets us not doing it out of love for God and love for one another. Do you know that you can share the truth about the feasts and the truth about the pagan holidays and do it when it's not in love, and you might as well just took manure and smeared it all over that person's face? And get them to reject the truth because of your attitude about it. Well, if you just knew. Well, if you just knew what was radiating out of you, you'd know why I'm rejecting every single word that you're saying. Superiority, arrogance. That's not love. Love is when you do the things of God, it makes it better. And I'm sharing this with you not because you're wrong and I'm right. It's because this will make it better. It'll get you more in sync with heaven. It'll make it better. Keeping the commandments of God, when I do it out of love for Him and love for my brother, it always makes it better. It gives me the motivation. Because one of the things I found out about God, it's not what you do for most of us. Let me know, there are some grave sins that you can't find a good reason to do it. Okay? But a lot of the smaller things, you can do the right thing and it be wrong because of what was in your heart when you did it. I will add this. How many of the sons of Aaron brought strange fire on the censer and they got killed for it? How many know they did what they normally did? They just did it with the wrong fire. And the wrong fire can be the attitude in which you do something. They were going through the motion, doing the exact same thing they were doing, but they didn't reach out of the sacrifice from God. They reached somewhere else to get their fire. And the fire can represent the motive behind what they did. They half-heartedly did it. They were drunk. They didn't really care where the fire came from, just as long as they did their little thing and got it over with. And there are a lot of people in the Baptist movement, in the Pentecostal movement, and in the Messianic movement that they're going through the motions with things that heaven would consider right, except for the state of their heart. Their heart's making an abomination before God because they're bringing strange fire. Therefore, I can try my best to keep all my commandments, but if it's so I can stick my nose up in the air to you, God says you're rolling in pig filth. You're not keeping it because the number one commandment is love. Hear, O Israel, Lord God is one. I will love the Lord my God. Love. Well, we had it from the beginning. Jesus actually didn't have to give us that commandment. It's part of the Shema. We pray it every morning. I will love. I will love the Lord my God. That's why I'm doing all this. It's not because I am superior. It's because I love Him. Now let's look at some more things about the love walk. Let's go to Romans chapter 13 and verse 8. Because you're going to see this about Torah. How many know Jesus said, I have not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it? Mm-hmm. Okay. That Greek word is pleroo, which means to fill to the full. The Apostle Paul says we can do the same thing Jesus did. Romans 13:8 says, owe no man anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled pleroo, the law. That if I'm walking out of love, that I can begin fulfilling the law, making it full, bringing it to its fruition the way that Almighty God wanted it to be. But the only way to have access to it is by to continue to walk in love. The definitions for pleroo mean to fill to the full, to cause to abound, to furnish, or to supply liberally. And the very last definition is to fulfill, i.e., to cause God's will as made known in the law to be obeyed as it should be. So here the Apostle Paul is telling us that if I walk in love, I can walk in Torah. The only way to walk in love is to walk in Torah. Our only way to walk in Torah is to walk in love. My question is, if it's been done away with, why is he telling me that all the laws is made manifest by love? It's not been done away with. We bring it to the fullest. That when I do the commandments out of love for God and love for other people, I add the majesty that belongs to the commandments of God. I fill it full of majesty and full of dignity and full of purpose. Instead of filling it with religiosity and vanity. Let's take it a step further. 1 John 5:18. Now this can deal both with peace and it can deal with love. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who is born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not. Now, we already know with the things that John has written in the earlier chapter, 1 John 4:20, says, he that says he knows God but hates his brother is a liar. He's not of God. If he's not walking in love, he's not of God. So this is connected. Keeping himself in the love walk, keeping himself in the peace is a part of positioning yourself where the enemy can't touch you. I've walked through some things, and Mary walked through some things that we should have been dog meat. But the enemy couldn't touch us because God gave us enough grace in those areas in spite of ourselves. And I will confess to you, in spite of ourselves, we walked in the peace and we walked in the love of God. Mary, there have been situations, Mary and I walked through these things, and we can quote, you know, Acts where it says, and we have seen strange things today. And the strange things was us. That we did it, and we couldn't believe we did it. But here John is telling us, and the whole thing about 1 John is keeping the commandments, walking in fellowship with Jesus, so that blood continually keeps us covered from sin, walking in the commandments of God, and walking in love. That's the whole purpose of 1 John. And he was saying, as he's closing this out, he said, now listen, if a man will keep himself... That word keep in the Greek is teru'i, or teru'u, I'll get it right here in a minute, which means to attend, to carefully, take care, to guard, to keep one in the state in which he is, to observe or to reserve or to undergo something. So if I purposely keep myself, I guard myself, that I demand of myself to walk in love, to walk in that peace, to keep these disciplines, he said, the promise of God is the devil can't touch you. How many know the devil would have loved to have killed Elijah? He would have loved to have killed Elisha. He would have loved to cause Moses to drop dead in Pharaoh's court. How many know the devil would have loved for David to have lost the battle with Goliath? Would have loved it. These men learned how to keep themselves. So if there is a time for me to go, it's going to be in his choosing and in his way, not the devil's, if I learn to keep myself. That don't mean I'm not going to have troubles. It means I serve a God who can take me through the fire, who can take me through the lion's den, who can take me across the tumultuous waters. He can do all these things, but at the same time, I get to the other side. I don't sink in the middle. It doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. It means that God is greater than the problems and he can walk you through the problems and be victorious on the other end and learn something in the process. So that love walk and that peace walk is so important. Now, the very final one, and this is going to perfectly dovetail into next week. Jesus said that, he said, and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. The very last discipline is truth, because you have got to discipline yourself to stay in truth. You've got to discipline yourself to stay in truth. All you got to do is to turn on the TV to lose truth. All these people are, and guys, you can get it from both sides, the right side, the left side. Neither one of them are walking fully in truth. Neither one of them are. And so it doesn't matter if I'm watching CNN, MSNBC, or Fox. Some, you know, Fox I trust a little bit more, but I know at the same time that there's an agenda there that can get you some out of truth. That every sitcom that we watch tries to get you out of truth. By humorizing the unnormal, they make it normal. The unfunctional becomes normal. And they are our educational system totally bombarding us. That's the reason they had to take it from the church. At one time in America, all education in America was controlled by the church. That's when we had some of our brightest and most gifted people. They had to take it away from the church and secularize it to get you out of truth. That's why we're always talking about we need to be more like Europe. Isn't that what you're hearing on the TV right now? Do you know homeschooling in Europe is illegal? They will take your kids from you if you homeschool them. Why? They have to be indoctrinated by the state, because the state has to tell them what truth is. But their truth isn't truth. The lies of the devil will always bring you in bondage, and the truth of God always breaks off the bondage. And so I have got to be constantly on guard to say the truth, to stay in the truth. How many ministers have we seen with some of the social issues that are going on right now that aren't prejudice, it's just dealing with sin, and we're having a lot of ministers back off because there's a lot of pressure being put on them, financial pressure and everything else, to back off of truth. There is, guys, the pressure right now on all of us to walk away from truth is more than you can comprehend, because right now Babylon and the Babylonian system is rising. It's in ascendancy right now. It's preparing the stage for the Antichrist. Therefore, we have got to demand of ourselves, I'm going to stay in the truth of the Word of God, even if I'm the only one that's doing it. I'm going to walk in truth. Because you may be the only one who's free. Everybody always worries about the mark of the beast. 666, you know. When I was over in Germany, German numbers, when they're two sets of three. It's not like, you know, three numbers and then four numbers. So when you dial somebody, one of the guys in our fellowship, they got their number and it was 616-666. And they thought, because in the book of Revelation, it's either 616 or 666. And they call it, you got to change my number. Why? It's 666. Well, that's the number we assigned you. Just shut up, you crazy American. And that we're so afraid of those numbers. We're so afraid of the mark in the forehead. But yet in the book of Revelation, God is also putting a mark in the forehead. Because it deals with mindsets. What truth have you established yourself in? The truth of the kingdom, then God sets His mark upon your forehead so that the plagues can't touch you. Or do you have the mindset of Babylon because you've embraced that truth and all of God's plagues hunt you down like you're fresh meat? We have got to choose to walk in the truth of God's Word. As it is said, don't let this world change it. It is unalterable. It is eternal. Heaven and earth will pass away. How many know the American, the government of the United States, the government of the EU, the government of the Soviet Union, every one of those one day will pass away. Not one of them will ever remain left. Harvard one day won't exist. Oxford won't exist. There'll be no schools. There'll be nothing. All that one day won't exist, but yet the Word of God will. It will remain forever and ever. Amen. And Almighty God says, here is how I define intelligence. Did you believe what I said, or did you believe Babylon? Walk in the truth. For 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12, and it's dealing with the lawless one. What does the lawless one mean? One who, anomia, one who stands against the law of God, the Torah. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. You see, when you walk in love, you also got to love truth. Which means you hate a lie. You got to love truth. And because they had not the love of truth, that they might be saved, for this is the reason that God sent them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. And that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, how many know God always sees the beginning from the end? And He sees the systems of Babylon and those that are caught up in it that will never, ever, ever turn. My greatest fear is there's a great amalgamation of them in D.C. Because I find no wisdom and no truth in what any of them are doing anymore. I don't see it. I don't see it in a lot of our educational systems. They're crowning stupidity. And because they have rejected the lie of God, in this day and this hour, God is loosing because they received first the delusion from the devil that caused them to feel like they were wise but yet stupid. The Bible says they themselves, ever learning, they thought they were wise, became as fools in real spiritual things. That they have so received the devil's delusion that there is no possible way that they're ever going to receive the truth. I think we're in a time right now that there are men that are so wrapped up in Babylon, they're never coming out. They are never coming out. And because of that, what's happening in this day and this hour, there is a strong delusion being released, not only by the devil, but God is saying, if that's the road you chose, and you choose to be a tare instead of a wheat, I'm putting all the fertilizer on you that you need. Because you have already set your heart to it, and I know it's impossible for it not to be that way, and I have got to cause a contrast between the wheat and the tares, therefore I am loosing a delusion to go ahead and finish the maturation process. And it is so strong that we have got to choose to stay in truth. Because everything of this world is getting so swallowed up in that delusion God said, this morning as I was preparing my notes, God said it has become a vortex of darkness. It's almost like a black hole sucking everything up that gets too close to it. And I've got to be careful not to let that stuff get into my head and get into my heart. Because in whatever area that I reject the truth of God, I go into bondage. That's why knowing the truth brings what? Freedom. Therefore, dismissing the truth brings what? Bondage. And so I have got to declare and I have got to demand of myself, that book is inerrant. It is infallible. It is a revelation from God. And even with the crazy things going on right now in the Messianic movement, God sovereignly, Genesis through Revelation, is a complete book. Can you see what the devil did? He got the church to dismiss the Old Testament. And now we find out there's the Old Testament, and he says, I'll just get rid of the New. It's one whole book. It starts with the very first thing is how man fell, and then we find out how God fixed it and how God's going to end it. It's one whole revelation. All truth and all science must line up with that book. And people treat science as it's a religion. Do you know that? I like what Einstein did one year. He was teaching at Yale. And he taught the year before, and he had the same assistant. And the assistant said, well, you know, Dr. Einstein, have you come up with a new exam this year? And he says, no, we'll give him the same exam. And the guy was in horror. He said, you can't give them the same exam. They took it last year. He said, no, this year it's all different answers. Because what was considered solid rock physics last year, we have discovered enough that it's hogwash now. Now there's all new answers. It was like string theory. No, there was heavy gravity theory. That was the answer to all things. And then we came up with string theory, but then the math didn't crunch right. And so we had to amalgamate the two together. And now the new religion is M theory. I tell you what, I got the Jesus theory. Amen. All things are held together by the word of His power. And if He wants to pluck them strings any way He wants to, He can go ahead and pluck them however He wants to, because they're resonating with His voice. And yet they'll turn up, you believe in God? Yeah. Something had to create those strings and make them resonate at the submolecular level. And they're still resonating with His voice. And one day He's going to take His voice back. And the whole thing is going to go up in one nuclear explosion. Fire next time, not water. Because when the rabbis teach, when God said light be, it's in the continual sense. It's because He's still saying it. It still is. But the minute He draws it back, it all goes away. His voice. I don't care what your science is. If your science don't include God, ever learning and never coming to the truth. We know the truth. Don't let social sciences, don't let quantum physics, don't let economic sciences get you out of what the Word of God says on how to live, because it'll bring destruction. But I've got to choose to stay in the truth. I may be the odd duck, but I'm going to be the only blessed duck. I also may be the only duck it ain't for lunch, okay? Because the wicked one can't cook my goose, because I'm walking with God. Does that make sense to you guys? Can you see how everything in academia, in news, everything is to take you away from truth? You've got to choose to stay in it. You've got to set your mind to it. You've got to devote yourself to it. Because there's coming a time that there will be signs and wonders that have the ability to deceive the very elect. And I guarantee it will be the elect that didn't guard themselves in staying in truth. Next week, we're going to deal more with this. We're going to get into holy fire and strange fire. Because I think we're coming into a place, guys, where we're going to see both manifested in the body. It's going to become quite clear what it is. Now, I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about the body of Christ as a whole. And right now, our biggest problem in the body of Christ, while we're not seeing more of God and more people come to truth, is there's too much strange fire. Too much. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus this morning. Father, we confess that God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. That your truth is ultimate, absolute, unequivocally the truth, and everything must line up with it. Father, give us the grace now to walk in these disciplines that we've learned. Father, teach us by your Spirit to implement them and let them be strategies for victory and new peace and new power and Father, new ways that we can see our families become more whole than ever before, that we can see your peace, your tangible presence. Father, I not only want the chabod of God to manifest here, but Father, I want to hear reports that people were praying in their homes and the glory cloud of God, the presence of God, began to manifest in their homes. And that God began to do things in their neighborhoods because in the midst of all that darkness, there was light. Father, we thank you for it this morning, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name.